This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, today is June 30th, which is a Saturday, and we are going to be heading to Chicago and then on to Colon, Michigan for Abbott's get-together. This would be their 79th, I believe, this year, 2016. And I am going to, as usual from the convention, be posting daily updates. So even though you can't be here, that you can enjoy it as if that you were, hopefully by hearing some of the sights, some of the sounds, and hearing from some of the people who are there, like the organizers and some of the registrants and the talent. To dealers, etc. And I start to say sites. Actually, I think I might be posting some photos, certainly, but I might be posting some videos then as well. One of the things I've recently done is added this little feature with Facebook that allows us to stream live time, so this way that you guys can actually be online there too and ask questions as I am recording the podcast, so this way that you can be part of the podcast as well. And so a lot of times I will be able to post this announcement beforehand to say, prepare that I'm going to be posting something live or be live chatting within the next 15 minutes or whatever. But of course, first of all, you need to like our page at the Magic Word Podcast. And again, that's facebook.com/themagicwordpodcast, or just search for the Magic Word Podcast for that Facebook page and like us and you're in. That way that you get to hear the and see the chat live chats we have there on Facebook. Ah, enough of that. Anyhow, so here I am in Houston right now at the airport in Houston Hobby, and I'm looking out the window and seeing Southwest Airlines to the left of me, Southwest Airlines wings to the right of me, and this is the Southwest hub down here. It's a great airline. I enjoy flying it, and I have a good friend who's a pilot, a friend of the Magic Word, in fact, John Graybeal. And John is, as I said, is a pilot for Southwest, and I enjoy flying his airlines, and he does a great job. I've never had him as a pilot for one of my flights, but perhaps someday we might be crossing paths. Well, of course, one of the other things here is I wish one of my sponsors was Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, as much of this as I eat. And that's one of my first stops whenever I come over here to the Southwest Airlines terminal here, and got to go by and get a skinny hazelnut latte, with a couple of donuts. I like a double chocolate and the Bavarian cream chocolate. What's not to like about those, right? Okay, so we'll be heading out to Chicago, where we will, first of all, be met by Don and Joyce Weiberg, and Don Weiberg is a past international president of the International Brotherhood of Magicians. And then we were going to be heading over to the new offices of Magic Inc., or I should say the new Magic Shop for Magic Inc. They moved from their longtime location to another place, and so we're going to stop by and get a chance maybe to visit with Pedro and see if Sandy Marshall happens to be in town, or whoever might be there, just to visit with him for a little bit. And then from there, we're going to be going over to the Magic Lounge, Chicago Magic Lounge. That's one of the new things that our good friend John Sturck and other friends have put together, and every Saturday night in Chicago, it's apparently the place to be for magicians and for people who want to see some good magic. So, going to enjoy their show then later tonight. Anyhow, we'll be heading over on Tuesday to the get-together, and then Tuesday night we're going to be having some fun with the Amish. We go to an Amish family. Michael Mode sets us up every year, and so we have a fried chicken dinner, and then we go over to the Amish house, do a little bit of magic for some of the Amish families, do some buggy rides and everything, come back and go over to a party at David Seabach's place that he's running there by the lake, and then the next morning get up early and go out for a round of golf for the Open Colon. Maybe that's the Colon Open, I'm not sure, but it's the same thing that Al Leonley's had for over 25 years there in as part of the get-together events. And of course, you know, Al Leonley is the one who puts together the cemetery tour, and he's got a great book out there then, too. All this and more you're going to be hearing in upcoming episodes. I'm just getting kind of excited. I hope that you guys are, too, and you can sense that in my voice then as well. This should be just a great next 10 days. Just a lot of magic is going to be all packed into that, and we'll see how much of that I can actually get on the air each day, because I'm going to have at least 4 updates starting on Thursday, I think, what is that, August the 4th, I believe. So after the 3rd, which will be the first day of the get-together, I will record stuff, put it up that night, so you'll hear day 1 on Thursday the 4th. So, anyhow, I want to get into my donuts here. You guys are keeping me from my breakfast. It is kind of early right now. So until later, until we get on the other side, wherever that might be, I'm guessing Chicago will be my next report. from Houston Hobby Airport and Southwest Airlines and Dunkin' Donuts, this is Scotty out. Hey, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we made it to Chicago, and now I'm here at the new quarters, or actually it's a 50-cent piece. Yes, we're more than just quarters. I mean, this is twice as good as the last place of Magic Inc., and I'm here with Pedro. Hi there, Pedro.
Hello, guys. How are you doing today?
We're fine. So, tell me about the new place. And so you were off Franklin, or what was the old
Lincoln. We spent 52 years at 5082 North Lincoln Avenue. So, yeah. If you have a catalog or a book from the shop, that's the address on it. Our new headquarters are 1838 West Lawrence Avenue.
How far away is
it? It is about 3/4 of a mile away from where we are, but it's an entirely new neighborhood. This is different people. It's actually a lot more lively, a lot more foot traffic. There's a lot more young families in the neighborhood, and there's a lot more businesses, so you get to see a lot of people walking in and out at different times of the day, which is great.
And so tell me more about the place. As far as is this more square footage, less square footage? What about your storage, etc.?
It is the storefront is a bigger store footage, and it's cleaner. We actually have counters. Some of the counters that we had in storage for 40 years. We didn't have space in the storefront to put them up, but now we do, so we put them up. As far as storage goes, we have some storage on site. We have, because we wanted to set up a performing space in the back like the old place.
Yeah.
So we save some of our space for that, and then we have some offsite storage. So we have over 10,000 items in stock. Most of them we have on site, but some of them we have single copies on site. Once one sells, we need to go to offsites, to pick up a new one.
Yeah, and so you do have a place then for lectures. And that was what was the Punch and Judy Theater you had before, or the Jasper Theater?
There used to be the Punch and Judy Theater back in the day. Now it's the Jasper Theater.
Yeah. Okay.
Theater Club. So that's actually, we'll probably take you for a little tour. You get to see the place.
Yeah. It's, okay.
The new space sits about 50 people. Mm-hmm. The old space used to sit about 80. The sidelines are better for this one. We have better lighting, and we're working on a light grid. We're looking on working on sound system, and it's going to be computer control. So it's actually going to be a nice performing space, venue that people can use to shoot their promos for lectures. It's going to be fantastic. We've actually booked shows. We're booking private events over here as well. Mm-hmm. So it's all in all turning on to a very nice performing spot.
Excellent. It looks like even the showroom right here is a lot larger. I'm going to post some pictures of this just on the blog so people can see this then too. But it looks like you can display things a lot better from the outside and looking at the neighborhood. I mean, there's more window space and everything, a lot lighter in here.
A lot more window space. People can see it. Plus, we're a couple steps on below ground level, so people can actually see the whole shop when they walk by. Which is one thing we notice a lot. We have a lot of families that walk over to the supermarkets next door or the bank across the street, and they'll stop by the windows, they look inside, and they get to see a nice, safe environment, so they get to come in. The old place is, we have very fun memories for the magicians that have been going there for 40, 50 years, but it was a little bit less inviting. We're getting a lot of people to come in that have never walked into a magic shop before.
Yeah. And so, again, because the neighborhood, I guess, that you're having more people, is more of a residential area than before, whereas the other one was more of a kind of a drive-by place.
What happens is the old place was more of it's an old established neighborhood.
Yeah.
So you have families that were there for 30, 40 years, just like the shop.
Mm-hmm.
If you grow up a block down the street is a magic shop, you go with it when you're a kid, but if you don't have an interest in magic, you stop going.
Yeah.
This neighborhood, you have a lot more young families that move in,
That's
move
nice.
Out. There's always this churning crowd.
Yeah.
There's an elementary school across the street. There's a private French academy a block down the way. And there's a Sears that I know on the corner. There's some big supermarket with a wine bar.
Mariano's,
which is fantastic.
One of the nicest grocery stores in the country, in my opinion. Nice
really,
sandwiches, the cleanest place.
Really,
I love it.
It's sushi bar. You can buy a steak and they'll grill it for you. It's actually, they have a piano bar. And they actually have magicians that once in a while that do magic, strolling magic.
In the grocery store.
In the grocery store.
That's just an incredible place. That,
isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
So, so because of that, there's so much foot traffic. We get a lot of people. Plus, we are actually... this is Lawrence Avenue. It's a very busy avenue in the city of Chicago. You can go straight downtown to the Loop, and you can go straight up to the Jefferson Park for the Blue Line to take the Blue Line straight to O'Hare.
Yep.
There is a Brown Line that goes straight down to the Loop up two blocks down. We also have the Metro, which actually runs all the way to the suburbs. So you can take, you can get from here, you're a few blocks away from everywhere.
Wow.
Which is great.
Yeah. And parking is just on the street, so
parking on the street. There's a lot of meter parking on the street. The bigger hogs for parking spots on the street would have been Mariano's and Sears, but they both have parking lots that take probably 200-300 cars each.
Wow.
So they don't occupy all this street parking. There's lots of parking actually around the school perimeter from 4:30 to in the afternoon until 7 in the morning the next day. It's free parking all around the perimeter of the school. So there's lots of a lot more parking here than when you used to have at the old place.
Yeah, but Magic Inc. is really the longest running and oldest magic shop in Chicago, isn't that
absolutely
right?
Absolutely, by far. We've been in business since 1926. It used to be Ireland Magic. Mm-hmm. When Laurie Ireland ran it, then Francis married Laurie, then. When Laurie Allen passed away, she ran the shop for a while. She married Jay Marshall after that, and then it became Magic Incorporated in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
So from the, and so you know, we have a long history, and it's been in the same family since 1926. In essence, the same family line.
And I recall that Frances used to publish a lot of her own material too. You guys don't do much publishing
absolutely,
as you did before.
Absolutely, we have over 300 different book titles, booklets that we publish on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Besides for that, we still publish a really large amount of books. You know, it's amazing how many books people have in their libraries and they don't realize they've been published by Magic Inc. I mean, classics like The New Modern Coin Magic by J.B. Bobo, that's one of ours.
Yeah.
We've published dozens and dozens of Marlowe titles. We have, just last year, we published The McComical, which is Billy McComb's collection.
I saw that
magic
over here on your table.
That's an exceptional, if you like parlor or close-up magic, that is an exceptional book. It has tons of advice on just performance itself, not just, the tricks, even though the tricks are exceptional.
Written by who?
That's actually compiled. It's actually all of it is written by Billy McComb, but it's been compiled by the staff of Magic Inc.
Yeah.
And it's got a really terrific material in there. Betcha is something else we published about a year ago. That's Simon Lovell's book on bar bets. And we have all of Leech as our other newest release, and that's a compilation of all of the Leech material.
Al Leech.
We published most of that stuff originally, so we put all of it into book form. Right now, we actually have about four or five book projects. We're working on the restaurant magic of Al James. That should be coming up soon. Al James is a restaurant magician. He's the godfather of restaurant magic in Chicago.
He had his own book. It came out just a couple of years ago, too, didn't he?
No. This is his very first book coming out now. So Al James has lectures. He has got tricks that we release in the market for him. But this is the very first time he puts out a book with all his routines.
And he used to work with Heba Hamel, Al, and all those guys.
That's exactly. Al worked all the hottest places. He actually worked Julien's or the place where the Julien's now for over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
The book is actually going to include full presentations for a lot of Heba Hamel's tricks as part of the recollections.
Remember, sugar cubes. And
sugar
kind of,
cube is all going to be full script for that one. It's in there because again he worked with them enough that he remembers the whole routines and they should be put somewhere.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's gonna
don't
be
want to lose that.
Absolutely. So it's going to be an Al's book coming up.
Give me goosebumps. That's so cool.
Isn't that great? I know. We have.
Seriously,
look at you with goosebumps. No, this is. We actually. I'm going through this, and it's the best thing about Al's work is he has a very conversational style. So when you read through the book, it's like you're sitting having a conversation with an old friend.
Nice.
So you get this short to the point. He doesn't sugarcoat advice. He tells you this is what you should do. Go try it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the science and art behind restaurant magic.
Okay.
And again, you know, what better place to learn restaurant magic and bar magic than from a local Chicago bar guy?
Restaurant and bar magic in Chicago. Chicago style is a little bit different from other styles
of
magic.
Yes, it is.
Tell me about that.
Chicago style magic, traditionally, the performers who sit at the table with your patrons. Apparently, that's not something that happens in the rest of the country, or the rest of the world.
I don't in Texas.
Yeah, no. But in Chicago, the old timers will sit down at the table. You pull the chair in, you make a little space, and you perform it. And that's been done that way from the 20s and 30s, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of theories about that. We can talk about that for hours. But so that's Chicago-style restaurant magic. They also do a lot of quick and short tricks. So you don't do long presentations, long routines. If you see a guy like Al James work, sometimes in 8 minutes, and that's usually his set is 8.5 minutes, he may do 9 pieces for you.
Wow.
His cups and bowls routine has been distilled to the purest form. It's mm-hmm. in essence a presentation of the props, loads, and you're done. And people get to watch so much magic in so little time that you're in, you're out. You've had a whole evening of magic without realizing it.
Right.
So. And that's part of the stuff that he's going to be talking about in his book.
Now, how soon might that going to be, like, out by this Christmas or next
year? We are really hoping that it's out right before Christmas time.
This year.
So if it's something that you want, if you want to learn about, then make sure you put that in your Christmas list, send some emails, get on our mailing list, and we'll,
How would they go about doing that?
You can go straight to our website. It's www.magicinc.net. That's inc.net.
Mm-hmm.
There's a button right there. You type in your email address, and you get to get loaded straight into our mailing list, and you get to find out when we have special events, when we have not only lectures and shows in the shop, but you also find out when we have special sales or promotions that we have about different product.
Yeah.
And when we have new books coming out, when we have new product coming out, or different things that come through the shop.
Being a magic dealer and working behind the counter and demoing for as many years as you have right now, you've seen things kind of come and go in different waves. At this particular time, right now, as we speak, what would you say is one of the hottest selling things you guys have?
You know, it's really funny because I don't know how this is doing for other companies, but we are having so much fun with Klaus the Mouse.
Klaus the Mouse, that's right. Yeah, Don Warburg's got one of those. That's right.
You get cheers from the audience as I say it. It's in essence, it's based on Don Allen's Ranch Bird, which is something that we originally put in the market.
Explain the effect.
You have a little white, it's very straightforward.
Do you think it's possible to demonstrate that?
Absolutely,
me,
we could do that, sir. It won't. Yeah, we'll definitely show you that in a
I'll
moment.
I'll make a video.
Yeah, absolutely, we can do that.
But go ahead.
You have a little wind-up mouse that finds your selected card. That's all it is. And it's a free choice of a card. It can be signed. You can spread the cards on the table. The mouse runs over them and stops at a card. The way that this is set up, actually, he'll even kick off the card out of the deck with his little hind leg. Wheels. But it's again, it's a trick that you can make a whole presentation around it and do it in a 3-4-5 minute routine, or you can do it in a minute set and be done with it. But it's a fun, easy trick.
Resettable, easy to go, table
to table. It's easy to roll. If you're doing restaurant magic, walk around magic, there's nothing. In essence, is a self working trick. So just add the magician.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I'll tell you what, you give me a lot of information here, and I want to ask you, because the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, what would be your philosophy of life? What's your magic word? Not necessarily a word, it could be a phrase, or a philosophy.
This is something that I learned a long time ago. I was talking to another restaurant magician, Jim Krusek, who's left us now. And I was a young guy working in restaurants, and I asked him, listen, Jim, if you had any advice for a magician starting out in magic, what can you tell me? And he told me something that I felt was a cop-out. I thought he just didn't want to give me the inner secrets of magic. And over the years, as years pass, I've learned to realize that he told me everything I needed to know. And this one little bit of advice, what he told me is, Pedro, if you want your audiences to like your magic, just make sure they like you. And it really doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're, you're having fun and you're being respectful and you're showing them clearly good magic. You don't want to, sacrifice that. But as long as you're doing good magic, if your audiences like you, they'll like what you do and they'll have you coming back to their events over and over and over. And really, truly, when I was young, 20-year-old, I thought, well, fine, if you don't want to tell me, then tell me.
You were looking for the secret sleight of hand.
I was looking for get a video, get a book, or learn this move, and that's going to... But truly, that's been far better for me over the years than anything else anybody's told me. So, and that's, again, science from a restaurant guy in town.
Great advice. Thanks very much, Pedro, for the Magic Word Podcast. As Pedro, this is Scotty out.
All right, Scott Wells here with TheMagicWordPodcast.com, and it gives me great pleasure to kind of follow up a little bit, actually, on a podcast we did a couple of years ago. Was it that long?
It was about a year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago. I'm here with John Stirk at the Chicago Magic Lounge. Hello, John.
I'm glad you finally made it here, Scott.
I have. This is fantastic. Everything that I thought it was going to be. I'm anxious to see you, especially tonight, because you're going to be a headliner.
Yes, I am. I'm the artistic director, so I'm responsible for booking the acts, and I don't abuse my power. I want you to know that.
I know you didn't book me tonight.
No, right?
We
have a cast of about 30 magicians that we rotate. We have about six performers per night, mostly local guys. And, you know, I try to get the shifts scheduled equitably.
Sure. Because everybody probably wants to come to work.
Everybody, I get a lot of people, and we just don't have that many slots. So right now, when we first opened, when we talked on a podcast last year.
It was like a week before you opened.
Like a week before we opened. So there have been some changes since then. We changed the format a little bit. And then at the beginning of 2016, we added a second day. So we are both Thursday and Saturday nights.
Okay.
And the two nights are a little different. Both nights you get close-up magic at your table. Both nights you get a feature act and a headline act. But on Thursday nights we do bar magic. And on Saturday nights, we do a close-up gallery.
Now, let me go back on bar magic. When you're saying that, I'm thinking of something kind of like what Doc Eason or Tom Mullica was doing, which is actually a show behind the bar.
That's
as opposed to them doing one-on-one with people who just sitting there drinking.
Yeah, no, that's accurate. So what we have, essentially what it is, it's like an intermission show between the two stage acts.
I gotcha.
And everybody gets up and goes over to the bar, and the entertainer will go for about 20 minutes then doing, you know, bar magic and bar shtick. We're really trying to rebuild what they experienced back at the old New York Magic Lounge, the old Shulian's. In fact, I hope if you have time, you have a few words with Bob Shulian.
Oh, he's here? That's his son?
Yep, it's his grandson. Matt Shulian's grandson, Bob Shulian, who's here, part of our crew. So that's what, it was all gone by the time, you know, my partner Joey, our producer, and I came around to be old enough to be able to go to these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And since we didn't have one, we had to make one. So here we are.
Yeah.
About a year and a half later, and we're still going strong.
And you had different people to call on who gave you these good suggestions, like, I forgot the gentleman's name, there was someone who had written a book.
Yeah, Bill Weimer, who Bill you Weimer, also interviewed
right.
in that
yes,
podcast.
Right.
Bill Weimer's also here tonight. Doing close-up at the tables, and Bill wrote the book called Now You See Them, No You Don't, My Life in the Chicago Magic Bars.
I got that book, and I would recommend it.
And so he's here tonight. You could probably grab a few words with him as well.
Yeah.
So here it is, living history right before your very eyes.
So it looks like it's pretty full. Just opened at 7 o'clock, and people are waiting to come in.
Yeah, we just opened about 20 minutes ago, and we got about 40 minutes left until the stage show starts.
And this is Saturday night.
This is Saturday night.
Now, Thursday similar as far as, I mean, it's pretty full also?
Yeah, actually, we have about, averaging around, I'd say, 70 to 80 people on a Thursday and around 100 people on a Saturday. So, this is like 90% lay people, too.
Do people stay throughout the show, or do they leave and then you have another group come in, or do they stay all night?
No, these guys will stay all night.
Okay.
This one audience, yeah.
Okay. So, it'll be then, how's it work? I mean, it'll be you, or MC, or what goes on?
We have a host. We actually, when the doors open an hour early, we do close up magic at the tables for the first
which
hour.
Which is what they're doing right now.
Which is what they're doing right now.
Looks like they got three or four guys doing that.
Yep.
Chicago
that's right.
style, sitting at your table. Too.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. And then we'll do the two stage acts. And our MC tonight will be Devin, Seven of Devin, who will be filling in for Joey, who's out of town this particular Saturday. Normally, it's Joey's the host. I'll be on the piano for a little bit, filling in in a very vaudevillian type fashion.
Okay.
And then after the stage acts, we go in the back room and do the close-up gallery. And that'll be
another room here.
That'll be one man for 30 minutes with intimate close-up.
And is there enough room in that for all these people, the 80 or 100 people to see, or do they come in shifts or what?
Nope, there actually isn't enough room. So what you can do is you can reserve a seat by buying a premium or a premium ticket, and we'll reserve you a seat in the front two rows of the main show and then in the front row of the close-up gallery. And we also have a deluxe ticket, which is a little bit less expensive. It still reserves you a seat in the close-up gallery. And then we will see general admission, and we'll squeeze everybody in standing room after that.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, we really haven't had to turn anybody away to see the close-up gallery.
And how many does it actually seat in there?
There's actually 50 seats in there.
Okay.
But, you know, like I said, we can squeeze in some standing room as well.
And so it doesn't have, like, a television screen or anything? I mean, it's all live?
No.
I mean, so it's like...
No screens. That's that was a big point that we debated, and we were adamantly anti-screen.
Okay. Because you want to have that real live experience, you're watching that rather than
right.
TV, basically. The
exactly. Yeah, so, you know, when we have close-up magicians, you're going to be seated close-up so you can see them. And when they hit the stage, they have to do that stand-up type material for a room
right.
of 100 people.
So it's kind of like a comedy club in a way.
Yeah, very much like a cabaret nightclub,
yes.
which is, you know...
In the old days.
When we say to magicians it's a nightclub situation, these days... Nobody really knows what that's like because there are no nightclubs that
anymore.
Have magicians anymore.
Not in the U.S.
So when we have somebody new that wants to come, we always encourage them to come see the show first so they can get a lay of the room and not be surprised when they show up to do their show.
Right. Yeah. It's not like working the castle or any place else.
No, not at all.
It is very different. It's kind of a wide open area. Now, on off nights, I say off nights, like on Friday nights, they have a burlesque show.
Yeah, the theater's run by the Kiss Kiss Cabaret, which is a burlesque troupe, and they do their shows Fridays and Saturday nights. So Saturday nights we do the 8 o'clock show, and they do the 10 o'clock show out here in the main room.
Okay.
And then there's other nights where they have a comedy open mic, they'll have live jazz bands.
Yeah.
So there's what it's all under the umbrella of what they call retrotainment.
Okay, nice. And this is the only place like it in all of Chicago, probably the only place like this anywhere.
I'll tell you, this is the only place like it in Chicago that I know of.
Yeah.
I can't say I've been everywhere, so I can't speak for that.
Other people would be talking about it if there was some place they felt like you were competing with them, and obviously you're not.
I guess not.
Yeah.
We're fortunate that... thanks to some pre-existing relationships that Joey had with the producers of the theater, we were one of the first shows to come on board when the theater opened.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been here just as long as the Kiss Kiss Cabaret has been here in this building.
And this is really kind of a eclectic area that's a growing, kind of a thriving area in uptown Chicago, uptown being the northern side, and it is also a residential area, a lot of yuppies, young people, and...
It's a very diverse neighborhood here in uptown, and just a few doors north of us is the historic Green Mill Cocktail Lounge.
Just went over and saw that.
Which is one of my other favorite places to hang out.
Oh, really?
Often on Saturday nights, once we're done here at the Magic Lounge, I'll walk over to the Green Mill and take in some live music for a little while.
So they have live music there just on weekends?
The Green Mill has live music there 7 nights a week.
Okay. Is it you pay a cover, or does that just happen to be a band
playing? It's a cover,
okay.
Yeah. And a Saturday nights is always Sabretooth, which is a jazz quartet.
Oh, okay.
And
that's the name of the band?
That's the name of the band,
okay.
Sabretooth, and I made friends with those guys.
Yeah.
I really like going to hear them play. So.
Yeah, cool. Because I noticed another place around the corner that was...
There's the Uptown Lounge.
Uptown Lounge.
Yep. And they're you know, I haven't been in there, but I know it's a little bit different. They sometimes have karaoke and they have live music too, but it's not, you know, jazz style. It's more pop and rock style. But like I said, it's a very diverse neighborhood here.
Right. Well, Don Weiberg was telling me also is just down the street, about a block away, was the old original New York Lounge, which was one of the old Chicago places that people used to hang out. And then they moved that New York Lounge someplace else, but it was in this neighborhood.
Well, you probably noticed, Scotty, that our guys who are performing at the tables tonight are actually dressed in the New York Lounge uniform.
Yep,
the black pants,
the
black vest, and white shirts and ties.
In the old style?
Exactly.
Yep. I've noticed the pictures on Facebook you posted like that here recently, kind of that is the style of what the guys would wear back in the day.
That's right.
Yeah. That's very cool. Now, this again, so it opens at 7, the show is like at 8, is that right?
Well, we say the show starts when the doors open.
The doors,
at 7.
Of course, I can see that immediately. The guys immediately come and start doing magic at all the tables and everything.
That's right.
And you got like
the stage show will start at 8 o'clock.
Like 4 or 5 magicians who are working out in their white shirts rolled up and sitting at the table and the black vest. And so, okay, the stage show starts at 8. So then
right.
with each of you do like a half hour, then with the MC in between, then about 9, 9:15. 9:15, 9:30, they go to the close-up room?
That's right.
Okay. Okay. And then do you help yourself at the bar? You got waitresses?
We have the Uptown Underground, we have servers here, or you can go up to the bar.
Yeah, very cool.
Are you thirsty?
I think I will have something, actually.
Well, you know the old line, the more you drink, the better this crap looks. So.
And the darker it is, the better my match looks. The lighting is down. Okay, well, great. John, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Scotty.
Appreciate
your time over here.
Enjoy the show.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks again. For the Magic Lounge, that was John Sirk, and this is Scotty out.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are still on the road to Colon. Actually, we're almost there. We're in Shipshawana, in which we just had a performance over here with the Amish, and here now with Mike Miller, who is a talent chairman for the Abbots Get Together. Hello, Mike.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And this is not just the talent chairman for Abbots, but what else do you book for?
SAM, National, Bob Littles, and a close-up tour throughout China and a stage tour throughout China.
So they're two separate Chinese tours.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to talk to you a little bit about. How many years have you been doing that?
This is my sixth year.
Okay. And in doing that, you said there are two separate tours, or are they doing simultaneous?
No. Close-up tour from early July to late August, 30 shows in 30 cities. And a stage tour from mid-September to late November, 30 shows in about 27 cities.
And the close-up shows are also on stages, so they have video cameras.
On stage, in front of 1,500 people, video camera on stage and one in the audience, and about a 40-foot LED screen.
Are they the same stages that people come back to later for the stage shows?
Yeah, same theaters.
Just different performances, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't have the close-up guys traveling with the stage guys?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's amazing, I think, that...
There's four that go on the close-up and two on the stage. An illusionist and a minute back.
Okay, gotcha.
And four close-up, yeah.
Gotcha. Why is it that they don't mix the two? On the stage? I mean, it seems like you'd have a couple of guys, they would... You do close up with the monitors, or is it just too much for technically to try to move things around?
You can't have the big video screen when the close up's going on the stage because it's that big, and the projection's big. It'll take so long to tear it down or fly it
that
out.
Makes sense. Sure.
Yeah, so you have to have them separate.
And in doing that and performing, I you go over there and kind of pave the way, to check out things, and so
make sure everything's running smooth.
Do you promote it actually, or is there someone else promoting it, or how does the government work with this?
Well, they're Poly Grand Theaters, which are government-owned theaters, and my boss, Mr. Lin, is the producer. I'm the booker. I work for him. He goes to the theaters, sells the show to the theaters. He books the hotels. He books the flights. I book all the flights, but in China, he books all the hotels and flights and buses within China and the theaters. So all I do is bring the performers over, make sure everything's running smooth, and then it's all up to him.
So did he put this thing together and then contact you, or how'd that come about six years ago?
He was the chairman of FISM 2009 in China.
Oh, okay.
In Beijing. And Hank Morehouse was working for him. And Hank hired me as a stage manager for Beijing, for FISM, for the gala shows. And they liked what I did, and when Hank was ready to retire, he asked me to take over the close-up tour. Well, as everyone knows, Hank passed away while he was there.
Right.
And
as part of this?
As part of the tour, right? Okay. The first show of the tour in Beijing is where he passed. And David Williamson and Miguel Puga were there trying to help him. He passed away in their arms.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was devastating. It was the first show, I think, of the tour. And Hank was supposed to come back to be honored at the SEM convention in Pittsburgh in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is my fifth year. I'm sorry, fifth year, 2011. Is when he passed, and I started in 2012, and I've done the two tours of each throughout the last couple years. So,
while we're here, by the way, speaking of Hank Morehouse, tell us about the naming of the street coming up.
On Saturday at 5:30, they're going to the city of White Pigeon, Michigan, is naming his block the Hank Morehouse Avenue, and they're doing that at 5:30 on the 6th of this month, August. Which is a good honor because he brought a lot of attention to White Pigeon, Michigan,
sure,
in the magic community around the world.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I know whenever the people are wanting to talk with you and try to get booked in China, because I think this would be great for 2 months and good pay and be kind of fun to travel and put on my resume. So I'm sure you get all kinds of people. Any suggestions?
I get a lot of DVDs.
What are you looking for? Which people have if they're going to contact
close-up content. The close-up show is 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
With a little as talking as possible. We do have translators, but a little as talking as possible. If you can do a lot of music. We try to bring two, at least, pure close-up magicians that work right on the table.
Mm-hmm.
One minute act that can work with in front of a big screen.
Kind of like Rocco.
To do 15 minutes, or we've had Timo Mark, we've had Danny Cole's there now, Christopher Hart. And then one act that can do stand-up that works with a lot of kids, that can work with kids. And I've done that. David Williamson's done it. Miguel Puga has been there. So it's a good tour. It's a good tour. And we get all variety type of acts out there to get everybody involved. In front of anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 people each show, close up.
And when you're saying that it needs to be a silent act, except whenever doing, well, as close to silent as possible, whenever doing kids' thing, obviously they've got an interpreter there.
There's an interpreter there, but some things are lost in interpretation,
sure.
So you have to be careful. They do get jokes. They do get the jokes over there.
But again, I think we talked earlier, that's why mentalism would not work. Because
mentalism
that's all
wouldn't work, yeah.
So if you're a mentalist and thinking about you want to come.
Yeah, don't submit a DVD.
Okay.
What I do is I collect DVDs. They send them to my home, and then I'll collect about 15 to 20, and then send them to China, and then my boss, Mr. Lin, looks them over, and then we have a meeting, decide who he likes, who he wants me to call, and we go from there.
But he kind of makes
decision, yeah. And then he'll ask me whether I feel they'll be good for the tour and good with the other performers that he likes.
Right.
And I try to get everybody to work together.
So that's an important thing, is you need to make sure that people are going to be able to interact.
Yes.
And also, afterwards, they sign autographs and everything, so they have to be pretty amiable people.
Yeah. After the show's 90 minutes.
Okay.
So three performers are doing 25 minutes, and one does 15.
Mm-hmm.
And it will tweak after the first couple shows. Richard Turner went over. He opened up, and he was doing 25 to 30 minutes, and then we cut him down to 22 strong minutes, and he killed last year.
Yeah.
Paul Gertner modified his act to mostly all music, and he killed. He closed the show.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago, Henry Evans converted almost his all hack to music, and he closed the show and standing ovations. And Shin Lim was there once, and he's coming back again next year.
Yeah. And you were saying, as far as the stage acts go, you said earlier to me before we got on the air that they have to ship their stuff like 60 days in advance or something.
For the illusionists,
The
illusionists will have to ship by boat from wherever country they're in, by boat, probably 60 to 65 days in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets there, so you're only dealing with one customs.
Right.
That's why you don't want to take it on a plane or truck, so you have to go through all these customs.
Right.
And then 60 to 65 days after.
Yeah.
Ship it back. They take care of all of that. You have a carnet. Carnet is with the items that are in each box you have to have for customs to read through. So you have to go through the carnet. They pay for the shipping. They pay for the insurance. And then you and your crew, up to six people total, they take care of all of those. Flights, visas. You get paid per show. And it's a good tour. Everything's paid for. Food, travel, 4 to 5-star hotels. Close up and stage.
And how far in advance do you start to book acts? Like you said, right now you've got 17 already booked.
17's already booked, and probably December, January, February of next year, we're going to start looking at 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll look at some more DVDs I send out, and then he'll email me and go from there.
And get in contact with you. What email should they use in order to get that contact information? I guess you'll give them some specifics as to where they can send that. So
MikeMiller214@comcast.net.
There you go. That's how to do it. Thanks very much, Mike.
I don't have the final say, so don't be mad at me if you don't get booked.
That's one thing I wanted to make sure that you were going to be on here, because I know everybody's been getting in touch with you, and they're going to be upset with you. It's like, why do you like me? Well, it's not your ultimate
decision. It's not my call,
Yeah. You kind of forward those on. So.
Yes.
But again, that you can send those emails in to you, and then kind of go from there to see what happens. If those who might be interested, might be something really good coming up that they haven't seen before. It's very surprising.
That'd be great. And they're very picky on awards. So if you want awards, they want a list of all the awards.
Oh, so that's important to them.
That's very important to Chinese people. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. So therefore, I encourage all of you guys out there to enter contests.
Yes.
Enter the SAM and the IBM contest, and you know, start to rack those up.
Yep. That's it.
Okay. Very good. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Mike Miller. This is Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I'm here now with Michael Mode. Hi there, Michael.
Hey, Scott. How you doing, buddy?
I'm fantastic, thank you, and it's good to see you here. This is we're in the at an Amish home again, and you've been doing this for a number of years. How many years now, approximately?
Oh, geez, I started coming down to Indiana here in Amish country about 28 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've been doing the chicken dinners for over 20 years now.
Yeah, and that's grown from just a dozen to, what do we have now, 28 or 30 people?
No, we had close to 40 tonight, and then the Amish, so we've got a crowd of about 100 here, I would say.
Yeah. Now, as I understand in talking with someone earlier, that David Linsell was telling me that Hank Morehouse used to have like a night before party up in White Pigeon, and then after he died, then people were looking for something to do about the night before, and so you just kind of picked that up. Was that kind of how it?
Yeah, well, we were doing it while Hank was having his parties. We would stop at Hank's after this, and then when I met my Amish friends, and we became better friends with them. Yeah. They invited us over to their house, so we put on a little magic show for them, and you were one of the performers tonight. You did a great job.
Well, thank you.
And it's really neat. We're in the on their farm here. There's literally corn
growing right
behind us. Cornfield right behind us.
I'll take a picture of this.
And
to verify that.
We did the show on the benches where they have their church services on Sunday.
Okay.
And they're a wonderful audience, as you know.
Yes, and very appreciative. And now I want to go back kind of the beginning, because when I talked to you about this earlier, you said that the genesis of this was that Merle was making one of your props, your tricks. So you can kind of explain that story.
Yeah, sure. Merle made a spider box, which is it looks like a wooden box, and you open it up, and the spider jumps out and grabs your hand.
Yeah.
And there's different versions of it, but this version was the best version I had ever seen.
Yeah.
And I met him, and I didn't meet him. I bought one in the store here in Amish country, and I asked them, you know, who makes these? I'd like to find. And they gave me his address, and I wrote him when I got back home, and the letter came back.
Because you're from Michigan,
I live in Michigan.
Yeah.
So he had moved, and then the next year when I came down for the get together, went into the store again, and they gave me a new address. And when I got back home, I wrote him again, and he called me, and he says, "Well, how many do you need?" And I said, "Well, I'll take a dozen." And he sent them to me. He said, "Just when you get them, send me a check." And I had never met him.
Yeah.
And he said, "That's the way we do business. We trust people."
Yeah.
And boy, that made a memory with me.
Sure.
And that's how I run my business now. And ever since, we would come down and buy more boxes from him. And he runs a big food store down here.
Mm-hmm.
And we just became friends with them and their whole family.
Most delightful
and their extended
people.
Family. They're just wonderful, and they give you hope for the world. You know, you come down here, it renews your faith in mankind.
It really does.
You watch the news, and watching the news is the exact opposite of visiting the Amish.
Wow, that's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. You know, you put together a good thing, but people just kind of show up and that it happens. It's not really put together. It's kind of like at the last minute. Okay, what do you want to do?
Yeah, we were standing here literally next to a cornfield, and we had about eight guys, and we said, what are you going to do? We had Gene Anderson do the newspaper tear, which just fried the minds
of
the Amish. It was just great.
Yeah,
Keith Fields.
Hilarious.
And Ken Dumb. And it was just a great night. It's a perfect night to kick off my favorite week of the year, which is the get-together.
Which is a family reunion kind of a thing. And they have cake and ice cream for us here afterwards, and they give us buggy rides and everything.
Yeah, we just went for buggy rides, and we just had an all-you-can-eat family-style chicken dinner, and then we come here, and they have more desserts for us.
Yeah.
So it's just, and you can hear the Amish boys in the background
playing basketball.
That's right.
And
it's wonderful.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you, Michael, very much again.
Well, thank you.
Good seeing you.
Thank you, Scott. I love your podcast.
Thank you very much. Do you have a magic word, by the way, or a philosophy? I think I may have asked you this in past years, but that might change. What is your philosophy?
I think last time my magic word was Abbott's.
Yeah.
This year, let's make it attaboy.
Attaboy. I like it.
Abbott's prop.
There we go. For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Michael Mode. This is who was the maker, by the way, of the napkin rose.
Napkin roses, I debuted 12 years ago here at the Abbott's Get-Together.
Okay,
exactly,
so it's 12
years
ago.
In the Legion with, Jay Marshall was there, and AJ, and a bunch of people. And,
and I saw Dave Cressy here this evening for the first time, and he was folding your napkins.
It's great to see
you.
He's a big fan of the napkins, and I'm a big fan of his. He's a wonderful guy.
His mouth coils and everything. Great.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks, Michael, again.
Thank you,
for the Magic Word Podcast. This is Michael Mode. This is Scotty out.
All right, we're going to slip in another product review, and this is an at-the-table experience from Murphy's Magic Supplies. This is one of their 2 monthly lectures that they give as part of their regular ATT or at the table experience, and this was featuring Danny Archer that I thoroughly enjoyed. Now, this was during the month of June 2016, and that also featured Cameron Francis, which also was really excellent and had a lot of really good material. I believe I had already reviewed that one earlier and given high recommendation to that one. Well, I would say that for me, at least, that this one from Danny Archer was one of the best so far, in which that everything was a true worker type of effect that he was presenting. And not only were the effects also all great, but further, the information that he shared in between, the little stories about working. Let me back up a little bit, that Danny Archer had worked for a number of years in Colorado in a restaurant called the Chop House, I believe it was, in Aspen, I think it was. Anyhow, a popular ski resort, and he was, along with Dan Fleshman, had performed close-up on a regular basis, I guess 7 nights a week. Well, anyhow, you can imagine what kind of great experience you can get working there. And he shares a lot of the ideas and things and some tweaks on some of the classics that I have actually incorporated in my act since I watched this video. And I can't praise this one high enough. He has a lot of really good effects that Danny does unlike anybody else, but you can put your own twist on it, and then you could do it unlike anybody else also. But he starts off with a dye tube type of thing, which is a color-changing Hank that he does at the tables as an opener. He does a thing with an invisible coin purse. He does a drawing duplication, which I think is fantastic. He also has some other things in which he talks about how many tricks you should do in your set when you're working at the tables. And then he has a few tricks which he has taught in his lectures. If you have seen Danny in the lecture situation live, one of them is called the card sniff, which I've done for a long time also. Very clever. And also that the tips he gives on shuffling, I was unaware of until I had heard his lecture and was reminded of it again after watching this at the table experience here again. And again, he has just a lot of really great stuff and a couple of things that he does not explain. Two of the things that I really enjoyed perhaps and going to keep in my act for a long time, one of them is a variation on the effect called Jiggernaut, which he calls That's Nuts, which I think is really a great presentation and a different variation that would be great without offending anybody who might think, well, there's children present, and so therefore we shouldn't be doing anything with an alcohol type of a theme. And then also the drawing duplication that he teaches, I believe is called Drawn Again, is the effect that he teaches in there, and a couple of other things that he does, a good three fly. Again, I say good, everything is good in this. Again, I would recommend it. It was one of those things, occasionally you watch a video and you think, oh, I'll come back and watch some more later. I watched all of this. I think it was nearly 3 hours. It was like, I don't know, 2 hours and 45 minutes or something. It was darn close to 3 hours. And I have since gone back and watched several of these things in it then as well. Again, this was Danny Archer from the June 2016 At the Table experience. And for my money, I would highly recommend this particular one. In fact, again, both of those, again, with Cameron Francis, is really good, had some really good tips and some good ideas that I have incorporated as well. And you get both of those. I believe it's $9.95. You get one for $7.95. You get both for $9.95. But the whole thing, the at-the-table experience that Murphy's offers, is a really good deal when you subscribe. So this way that you could actually be live. So this way that if you subscribe from month to month, then you have the ability to watch the video as it's being recorded, and you can ask questions in live time, and then that will be part of the video, which you can download then later and watch at your leisure. Anyhow, that's it. Good review, good material by Danny Archer at the Table Experience for June 2016. All right. right, let's slip in another review here. And this one is for a trick, or actually a download, that's called Oddilicious. And this is rather odd, I guess. And it's odd because it does not have an S in it. The last letter S is actually a 5. And the reason is there are 5 different effects in here. And it runs for about $25. And you get a bonus effect. So actually there are 6 effects in this. Now, this whole thing is based around the Chicago opener, or the Red Hot Mama, which was an old Al Leach idea originally, called a hot card trick back in 1950. Anyhow, this was something that was is kind of a go-to trick. In fact, my good friend Jamie Salinas always suggests whenever that I go to him saying, you know, I've got this show coming up and I want to try to customize something for this veterinarian, for an example. He says, Red Hot Mama. Just use the alternate card with the paw of a dog or something like that, you know, when you turn it over. And so same thing like with trade shows, certainly, that you could have the company's logo or whatever else that's on that. Anyhow, Chicago opener, great effect, Red Hot Mama, whatever you want to call it. And all you have to do is carry around an additional card. Now, the idea here is with these guys, they had put this out under their project called Mululaba, M-O-O-L-O-O. L-A-B-A, Mulu Laba. And I believe they're from Down Under, down in Australia. And I really enjoyed their video. Actually, JC Sum had contacted me to begin with and said, hey, you might want to take a look at our project we've been working on. And I did. It's 2 hours of really some good material. And not only was the material good and solid and commercial, that the video that they did showed some real working on the street. So in other words, it showed how that they were performing this on the street. You get real audience reaction, and not like the kind of thing that you kind of see nowadays with David Blaine or Chris Angel on the street and some of those kinds of over-the-top type of things. I mean, these are real people who are in the street, and it doesn't look like this was edited at all. So it uses some real people, and so you get their genuine reactions, which are not over-the-top. Some are just okay as far as their reactions go. But the cool thing is that not only do they show the videos of what was happening on the street, but they also show all of the things that are happening in real time. So in other words, there are no cutaways in their explanation. And beyond that, also, that with the explanation, sometimes there might be a little bit of a blooper, but they don't have a blooper film or, you know, a blooper reel that kind of afterwards they'll say, well, you kind of get it as it goes. So it's raw and naked, but very well done. This isn't one of those things that looked like it was filmed in someone's kitchen with the dog barking in the background kind of a thing either. So it's a pretty well-produced video. And they recently had started marketing this through Murphy's Magic Supplies. And so, again, it's $24.99 or $25, called Oddilicious, Oddilicious 5, instead of an S, the Oddilicious Package by Mulu Laba. And it is a download, immediate download, and some really good stuff. I did enjoy this. Again, it kind of, the first one talks about the original idea with the Red Hot Mama with a little bit of a kicker ending, and then they've got some other ideas that go through, including an idea using a smartphone as well. Anyhow, these guys did a good job. Congratulations. It's a good video. If you do the Red Hot Mama or you do the Chicago opener, this is one that I think that you could add to your repertoire, a few different ideas that would require this additional card, an odd back card from the rest of them, which is odd, I guess. That's Oddilicious. and all the rest of the routines are in there. So, again, kind of I do recommend this one. Again, Oddilicious Package by the Mulu Laba Shuffle video. And available also here in the Magic Store on the MagicWordPodcast.com.